Welcome to the Origine Podcast. I'm Jamie, and today we're diving into some fascinating new research on mitochondrial proteins and cellular energy metabolism.
And I'm Alex, excited to join you for this episode where we'll be unpacking a really intriguing study about how proteins interact in our cells' powerhouses, the mitochondria. This paper just came out in Molecular Cell, and it's got some cool implications for understanding cellular energy production.
That's right, Alex. Today we're looking at a study titled Interaction with AK2A Links AIFM1 to Cellular Energy Metabolism. Now that's a mouthful of acronyms, but don't worry, we'll break it all down.
Please do, because I'm already seeing AIFM1, AK2A, MICOS. It's like alphabet soup in here. But I know this is actually super important stuff about how our cells function.
Exactly. So let's start with the basics. AIFM1 stands for apoptosis-inducing factor mitochondrial 1. It's this fascinating protein that was originally discovered for its role in cell death, but scientists now know it's actually crucial for normal mitochondrial function.
Right, and mitochondria are those tiny structures inside our cells that generate most of the chemical energy we need to survive. They're often called the powerhouses of the cell, as we all learned in biology class.
Exactly. And what this research team led by Robin Rothman and others discovered is that AIFM1 interacts with several key proteins, including something called adenylate kinase 2 isoform A, or AK2A for short, as well as components of the MICOS complex and a protein called MIA40.
Whoa. Hold on, Jamie. Before we go further, maybe we should explain what AK2A actually does. From what I understand, it's an enzyme that helps maintain the balance of adenine nucleotides in the mitochondria, right?
Yes, good point. AK2 is essential for controlling the balance of molecules like ATP, which is basically the energy currency of our cells. And interestingly, this study found that it's specifically the A isoform of AK2 that interacts with AIFM1, not the more common B isoform.
That's fascinating. And from what I gather, the researchers used some pretty advanced techniques to figure this out, right? They did cryo-electron microscopy to actually see the structure of these protein complexes at a really high resolution.
They absolutely did. And that's what makes this study so groundbreaking. They were able to get these incredible high-resolution structures showing exactly how AIFM1 interacts with both AK2A and MIA40. And surprisingly, they found that both proteins bind to the same site on AIFM1, but in slightly different ways.
Wait, so they compete for the same binding site? That's intriguing. Does that mean they can't bind simultaneously?
Great question. The researchers actually did competition experiments and found that MIA40 can displace AK2A from AIFM1, but not vice versa. This suggests that when AIFM1 is limited in the cell, MIA40 might outcompete AK2A for binding.
Oh, that's really interesting. So there's like a hierarchy of binding partners. And I'm guessing this has functional consequences for the cell.
Absolutely. The study showed that when either AK2A or MIA40 binds to AIFM1, it actually stabilizes the AIFM1 dimer. That's when two AIFM1 proteins come together, and it enhances AIFM1's activity as an oxidoreductase enzyme.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but AIFM1's activity is related to NADH, right? That's another important molecule in cellular energy production.
You're absolutely right, Alex. AIFM1 binds NADH, and that binding is what triggers the dimerization in the first place. The researchers found that AK2A specifically binds to the NADH-dependent AIFM1 dimers, not to the monomers.
So it seems like there's this whole intricate dance happening in the mitochondria where NADH levels affect AIFM1 dimerization, which then allows AK2A binding, which then, what exactly? What's the physiological outcome of all this?
That's where it gets really interesting. The researchers propose that AIFM1 is essentially positioning AK2A near important metabolic machinery in the mitochondria, specifically near the proteins that transport ADP and ATP across the mitochondrial membrane.
Oh, so it's like AIFM1 is creating a little metabolic hub, bringing AK2A exactly where it needs to be to help with energy production.
Exactly. And they tested this idea by looking at how cells grow when they have to rely on mitochondrial respiration. They found that cells lacking AK2 grow poorly when forced to use galactose instead of glucose as a fuel source.
And let me guess, when they put back the AK2A isoform, the cells grew normally, but the AK2B isoform couldn't rescue growth as well.
You nailed it. That's exactly what they found. Despite AK2A and AK2B having very similar enzymatic activities, only AK2A, which can interact with AIFM1, fully rescued the growth defect. This really supports the idea that the physical interaction between AIFM1 and AK2A is functionally important.
This is really elegant work. And it has implications for human health too, right? I believe I read somewhere that mutations in AIFM1 are linked to mitochondrial diseases.
Absolutely. Mutations in AIFM1 cause serious neurological disorders, muscle problems, and cardiomyopathy. And interestingly, the paper mentions a patient with a mutation in AK2 that resulted in only expressing the AK2B isoform, and they had severe hematopoiesis defects.
Wow, so this isn't just basic science. Understanding these interactions could potentially help us better understand certain diseases. That's what makes this kind of molecular research so important.
Definitely. And there are still some open questions, like how exactly AIFM1-AK2A complex dynamics are regulated by cellular NADH levels in real time, and what happens in complex model organisms rather than just cell lines.
I'm sure we'll be seeing follow-up studies in the coming years. This kind of detailed molecular understanding of how our cellular energy systems work is just fascinating, and it reminds me how incredibly complex and elegant our cells really are.
I couldn't agree more. Well, that wraps up our discussion of this fascinating paper by Rothaman and colleagues. Thanks for joining us today on the Origine Podcast.
And remember, if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, I'm Alex.
And I'm Jamie, signing off. See you next time.